Welcome back to Transactional Love. Today, Wendy and I will be unboxing the book called The Psychology of Selling by Brian Tracy, published in 2006. We're going to be covering six practices that you can start doing today to increase selling, not only in business, but the kind of selling that we do in everyday life.
Hello, hello.
Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Norma. It's so good to be back here with you today.
Yes.
I wanted to pop on and do something a little different with you because I've been sending these little book reviews to you and a lot of my friends lately. It's like this new version of podcasting that I'm listening to. It's mini books. Give me the high level stuff so that way I can decide if whether or not I want to actually read the book. And
Which I love.
Yeah.
So thank you for the ones that you sent me.
They're 20 minutes.
Actually, when I was digging deeper, that's when we came across, or you had already listened to this one, but mm-hmm. this one piqued my interest mm-hmm. for this conversation on why we buy.
Yeah.
So the book itself mm-hmm. is called The Psychology of Selling, which when we think about the why we buy, it felt very aligned
yes.
with all the conversations we have. And I thought it'd be great to touch on some of our key takeaways. So we'll link that in our show notes in case yeah. you want to go listen to the full thing. But for us, I thought we could talk about what we took away from it. When I saw The Psychology of Selling, the title itself, I was like, wow, that's so perfect for transactional love. And then it put a couple of categories in my brain of, okay, there's the selling of a business right to a customer.
Right.
But then there's the selling that we do every single day in our lives, whether you're selling yourself to your boss or you're selling yourself to your spouse and trying yeah. to say, here's what I'm thinking, trying to motivate them to get where you are. I think we're constantly selling, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Let me pull up my notes here.
Yes.
What I thought was interesting, so that he breaks things down into categories of what you should be taking away from the book itself.
Yes.
I was interested most in the boosting your own self-esteem as a way to increase sales, which we know about already. That's like coaching and sports, like 101 is psych yourself up for the race or yeah. the meet or whatever it is. And so we know that, but hearing it in this context of everyday life, of every morning, just psyching yourself up for pumping yourself up for the day and like what you have on your to-do list and your agenda does aligns with how you approach even the no's that you might get, right? You're already amped and you're ready to go and you're on your A game. So it's having that sort of feeling when you walk into any meeting, knowing that even if they say no, you're going to do your best to deliver that thing. And the answer doesn't have to be a yes for you to know that you've done your job well, right?
Yes. I love that. Getting yourself in a place of confidence so that you aren't selling yourself before you're selling others. Like you're already sold.
Right. Exactly. And then that leads into that manifestation sort of piece, which yes. of course instantly resonated for me. Oh, this is just manifestation 101. I love it.
Yeah.
That fits really well.
Yeah. And you're really good at that.
Yeah.
I thought about you for that particular yeah. section. I'm like, Wendy's really good. So I wrote down a couple of the categories. So one of the ones that I thought was really interesting was accessing your subconscious mind through lists. So we typically have to-do lists around our groceries and our errands and stuff that you want to cross off the list. And it was interesting to think about using that same format of a to-do list, but listing out your motivations instead of the things right. that you need to do. So why do you need to do those things? So if there's certain things that, yes, if you're in a business perspective, you need to sell a certain good or service, why do you need to sell it?
Mm-hmm.
And write that down, because that's constant motivation that when it gets tougher, when you get no's, when you aren't in that growth flow mode, that looking at this list of motivations can really drive you. So if it's buying a home or going on a vacation or having the financial freedom to whatever it is, mm-hmm. I think that to me was an interesting tool. Instead of a to-do list, it's a why am I doing this list.
It also helps people, especially business owners, outline their core values for their business too, right? So the motivations of why I offered floral design services is because I find them to be beautiful ways for people to breathe into a moment, right? Just have to be present. And so that's a motivation for me to give that gift. And that will never end. Like even yeah. if I don't have a shop, like I'm still going to bring people yeah. flowers, because that really does.
Delight. That delight drives you.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. So the other category, the second one is elevating your self-esteem, which you already touched on. Mm-hmm. And then the third was looking at the company that you keep mm-hmm. and always being a learner. Mm-hmm. So I think this is what you and I found in each other, that I think we challenge each other to learn and have an open mind of new ideas, new creativity, new ways of expressing that creativity. Mm-hmm. And he talks about how if you're wanting to be at a certain level of success or expertise, it's really going to help you to be around people that you admire and yeah. look up to and really push you outside of your comfort zone. So who you surround yourself with really matters. And then also keeping that mindset of being the beginner, mm-hmm. right? Like always being a beginner, that if you're not an expert, that means you always have something to learn.
Right.
So again, it's you and I sending each other these podcasts mm-hmm. or memes or whatever it might right. be that we're like, oh, have you thought about it in this way? I think I have the people that I find myself really engaging with tend to challenge me mm-hmm. intellectually.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's same. One of the biggest categories that he brings up.
Yeah. And I think that's true, like in the psychology of sales in a way, in that if you like, that's what I found with the Boss Babes group, the women in business here in town, is that we're a bunch of motivated women who all struggle through these different types of issues in our businesses, and being able to share those stories with each other like elevates all of us and inspires us all to keep going. And I think you have to find those places for you to challenge your own brain, because yeah. we get stuck in the silo of our own thinking, that when you get around other people in your same industry or doing the same things that you enjoy and they think about things differently, you can reframe and refocus. So I think it's really cool advice just to continue. We do it just naturally because I think we're drawn to each other. And then on top of it, just knowing that is building bigger than we know it is, right?
Yes.
And that's true, no matter which lens you're or which house you're building.
Yeah, and also applies to our guests that we've had. Mm-hmm. When you think about, regardless of the discipline or the area of focus they have, those lessons can apply to anything, right? So it's pulling ourselves out of the specifics and thinking about insights that are more like global. Universal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The next category he speaks to is master the art of questioning,
yeah.
which I think is so rooted in this
exactly.
podcast, because I think just being naturally curious around whether it's each other or the people we're welcoming, mm-hmm. but really understanding the why behind literally the buy, right?
Yeah.
So why are we buying flowers? It's not just because I want to look at these flowers. It's like there's a sentiment, right? Whether
right.
it's love or sympathy or whatever it might be. What are you communicating mm-hmm. and getting to the root of those things? Because I know you do this with your clients, right? And
right.
like get into the psychology of what's truly motivating them versus the actual transaction.
Like today I had a consultation with a wedding client and we spent 20 minutes having coffee and a pastry just so I could get to know her a bit better and understand what type of party she wanted to throw before I even went through the nuts and bolts of like, how many people are coming and how many centerpieces do you need and do you have a bridal bouquet? And
or some of those early questions that you asked.
Yeah, it was like her. She's a little bit later in life getting married, and so I wanted to understand how long she had known her partner before they decided to tie the knot, and learned a little bit about how she's got adult kids and so does he. So this is like their second go of things. So their motivation isn't a orchestrated event. It's a romantic, loving, just enjoying all of their favorite people event.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a lovely dinner party that has a wedding ceremony at the beginning. And that's
yeah. And
it.
You sharing that, I think it paints a picture mm-hmm. versus saying it's going to be these flowers. The moment in life that they're celebrating matters so much more than the actual flowers, right? But
right.
like you get to now speak that language back to them through the flowers.
The asking the questions part, asking purposeful questions to uncover the desires of the client is the core to also creating that trust for the potential client, because they feel seen and heard. They're starting to create this like empathetic exchange that happens. And in that empathy, you can uncover what their true desires are for purchasing. So whether that's social recognition or wanting to just check a box.
So this is when I jotted down Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Yeah.
It got me really excited about this idea of psychological insight. So I think this next category is actually tied. I think no matter what we're transacting on, we're hitting on one of those levels, whether it's I want to just get groceries for my family and get the best value and make sure they're fed and healthy. That to me is a very foundational motivation. As you start to move up, And you start to get into safety, right?
Right.
And community and your self-expression, your own, what's your personality? And does this purse or just this top right. speak to who I am? That's a different need that I need to feed my family.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I think if we are aware of where our clients are on the pyramid, I think we can really help them meet that need.
Yeah. Yeah. I think to that point, like I just got delivered these cute little pink pumps I'm wearing now. And I love them for so many reasons.
When you are so bubbly and happy. And
I know.
I think it's because of these heels.
It's because of these stupid shoes, I swear. The box got dropped off on my doorstep and I was like, ooh, yay. And it's from ThredUp. And what I love about ThredUp is that it's this clothing reuse. So you can unload your closet and they buy things, they sell things, they donate things. So basically you clean out your closet, you send it all to them, they take care of the rest. And then you get credit in your account for doing that. So you are stocking their store with all the stuff that you don't want to wear anymore. I see my size in these shoes. I'm like, I'll just buy those, obviously.
And I think we noticed that you're also matching your shoes to the podcast.
Yeah,
we studio are. Studio colors.
Yeah, our brand. I'm going to be very on brand
you're
in my footwear.
You're on the like self-expression.
Yes, totally.
Level yeah. of the pyramid.
Yeah. Like, this but, is also, but also it feeds this like these core values that I hold, which are like not to be wasteful and not to just buy for buying's sake. So these are things that someone else has already owned. I'm getting a deal on them and I'm still filling that need for some cute pink shoes that I didn't know I had. And these cost me $15. Like,
they're adorable.
They're
We're
going to
put them on the podcast. We got to get a picture of
we'll
you.
We'll do a picture of them.
Yeah, I feel like lately my husband and I are in a place where we're investing on an experience and a trip that we're about to take.
Right.
And I think we're in this moment of wanting to find each other and like connect with each other. So we're in the community belonging level of the pyramid. Mm-hmm. And I think understanding that gives purpose to that time we're spending together, right?
Yeah.
And like that gives meaning to the amount that we're investing transactionally. Is yeah. It's so worth it because it's something that we're excited to connect with each other on.
Yeah.
If that makes sense?
Yeah. On that note, one of the little things I wrote down that I thought was just like brilliant was that exchange, so that transaction, creates an opportunity for vulnerability.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, because I'm going to give you something so that way I can receive something. Mm-hmm. And so that trust that you have from the beginning is really important, that you know that the person you're opening yourself up to is going to hold you in that vulnerability safely.
Yeah, an intention around it too. And saying, why are we investing on this? Why are we transacting on it? It's because we have acknowledged together there's this need to have change of scenery, mm-hmm. to be together. To when we go into it with aligned intentions, I think it feels clear. So I like this idea of asking ourselves, like, why am I buying this? Like,
yeah.
Before you do, because then you're like, oh, it makes sense. Let me move forward. Because I think a lot of times we get buyer's remorse after right. we purchase something. And I do think it's important for us to feel aligned with ourselves. Am I being vulnerable enough to say, am I getting what I'm giving or
yeah,
more?
Yeah.
And ideally, we're getting more than we're giving, right?
Yeah.
Like in that transaction. So lastly, and I love this because you just talked a little bit about this, because we're being vulnerable, you need trust. So
yeah.
As a seller, building trust by prioritizing the vulnerability, right? And knowing and acknowledging that we are vulnerable when we give our money away. Mm-hmm. And how do you make people feel safe to do that? Whether it's return it if you change your mind, or money back guarantees, or coaching them through that and saying, you know, is this really what you need, with the mastering the art of questioning, right?
Right.
So the creating the trust and how you create the trust is an interesting thing. I think it could be a whole podcast. You've said this before of
no like trust.
No like trust.
Yeah, I just have to say it again. Yeah.
And when you trust someone, then you're not just worried about the transaction of what I'm getting. Then you're saying, I want to support this
right.
business. I want to support this person.
Right.
So that's the premise on the book published in 2006, The Psychology of Selling by Brian Tracy. Thank you for sending me this and for challenging me to learn.
Same. Yeah.
I feel inspired. So thank you.
Always inspiring. And I love sending you things and then getting to hear back what you received.
Yes. Because we're looking at the same thing.
Right.
And then we see different things.
Right.
We're so different, but the same.
Okay. Well, cheers.
All right.
Cheers. Yeah. This is Wendy and Norma. We love hearing from you, your comments, your likes, your stars, all of the things really resonate with us. Find us on Patreon for more exclusive episodes, early access, and community content. This is Wendy and Norma inviting you to transact with love.